I've come to this place in my life where I'm married and I have kids now, and I'm starting to look at my life and the things that I pour my life into, and I would like to leave a legacy, a foundation, something that remains as I continue in my life. And I've personally come to the place where I not only understand that one day everything that I have done will be judged. It will be tested by fire, and only the things that remain will be rewarded. And in that sense, it's good to know that, you know, one day I'll have to give an account for everything that I've done with my life, and it will be tested. And certain things will have a reward, and other things will have been meaningless. But I've also reached a place in my life where I not only know these things, but that I have a desire to make sure that the things that I do pour my life into, that most of that would actually last, would actually have a reward, that my life would not have been spent on stuff that has no value. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 12, we read the following. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. And it's a challenging portion of Scripture that just speaks about the fact that one day everything that we have done, all our work, will be tested. And some of it will have reward, and some of it will be burnt, and we will suffer loss from that time. It was a great time going back to the country that I came from, South Africa, and spending some time with my family. We have a farm in a very beautiful area in the Titsikamma, for those of you that know the country, in the rainforest. We have a farm, and we had this farm for 30 years. My father loved this farm. He worked very hard to buy this farm, and I spent many of my childhood on that farm. And my father really poured his life and his money and himself into the farm. And he really loves the farm. But unfortunately, none of his sons, he only has two, myself, my younger brother, none of us are interested in taking over the farm. My brother has no interest. He's been helping my father on the farm now for many years. But he has no interest, and I'm here far away. And even though I may be interested and love the farm, it's not practical. It'd only be a distraction. So it was very difficult for my father to come to this place of realizing that, you know, I've been pouring out my life and my resources into this farm that I love so dearly, but none of my sons are going to take over it. And I am now, he has come to the place where he's realized that I'm pouring out my life and my money into something that no one is going to inherit, that it will go to waste. And he has come to the place in his own heart where he's willing to sell the farm. Now, for him, that's a big step, because I remember a few years ago, my father said that, you know, I'm the firstborn, and, you know, in our family, that still means something. So I get to choose what I want to inherit. And he always said, you know what, I love this farm so much, and I'm going to give it to one of you, but I'm going to specify in my will that none of you are allowed to sell it. You may have it, but you're not allowed to sell it, because it means so much to me, and I've poured so much of myself into this farm. And he has now come to the place where he is willing to sell the farm, because he has realized that no one is going to be able to manage it and to make it work and grow. What is amazing also this time when I was on the farm, probably for the last time, and I love the farm as much as my father does. It was a great privilege for me to baptize my father. My father got saved And he asked myself and my brother to baptize him. And it was an amazing moment for me and my brother to baptize my father on the farm. And for him, it meant a lot. And, you know, as I was speaking to him about, you know, selling the farm and moving on, it was amazing what he said. He said, you know what, my son, if I look back on the 30 years that I spent on this farm, the most amazing thing for me is the fact that I grew in my relationship with God and I came to this place of giving my life to God and being baptized. And if that was the only purpose for having this farm, it was worth it. If there's one thing that I can take away from this 30 years, it's this very moment of being baptized today. And it was significant for my father because he knew that if all else is taken away, this would remain. One day, when his work will be judged, there is for sure this one thing that will remain. The fact that he got to this place of knowing God intimately and surrendering his life to God. And that was an amazing testimony from my father. In my father's own words, it was worth it. It was worth the time, the effort, the money in this farm. In Proverbs 19 verse 21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails, that endures. The point that I'm trying to make is that, you know, I want my plans, my purpose for 2010, that in which I'm going to pour my life into, I want that to remain. I want that to count. I want my plans to align with the plans of God, because I know the plans of God will endure forever. And I want to align my plans, that what I'm going to pour out my sweat and my blood and my tears, I want that to produce and endure. And I'm not talking about recreation. You know what? In life, we have many things that we do. I'm not saying we should no longer go on holiday, should hang up your golf clubs. All I'm saying is, you know what, there are so many things in life that we pour ourselves into. But it's very clear throughout Scripture that there are certain things that will remain and certain things that will be burnt. Certain things that will have a reward for eternity and certain things that will have no value in eternity. And it's so important for me, where I'm at, to make sure that the things that I invest myself into will remain one day. The question is, what are you building with your life? What are you spending yourself on? Will that remain one day? Are you growing spiritually? Do you have goals in your relationship with God, in your understanding of God and the things of God? As we sit in a new year and we plan the year, what are the goals? What are the aims of your life? What are the things that you plan to invest yourself into? And are those things going to endure in eternity? Are those things one day going to reap a reward for you? Or are they only going to go to waste? Are you building your own kingdom or are you building the kingdom of God? You know, in Scripture we see there are clear distinction between the ways of man and the ways of God. The ways of man that are temporal and the ways of God that are eternal. Are you aligning yourself with the ways of God, the eternal things, or are you aligning yourself with the temporal things and the ways of man? It's an important question and challenge for us in the beginning of every year. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 18 to 20, the Word of God says, do not deceive yourself. If any one of you thinks that he is wise by the standard of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. And why are the wisdom of this world foolishness in God's sight? Because God sees eternity. God's perspective on life is eternal. And when God looks at us, He looks at us through that vantage point. And when He speaks to us, when He works in us, when He invests in us, He invests in us for an eternal purpose, not for a temporal purpose. Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The bottom line is this: the thoughts and the plans of carnal man comes to nothing, but the thoughts and plans of the eternal God lasts forever. Now, many of us may be thinking whether our plans for 2010, will those plans ever meet up with the plans of God? I mean, do I even feature in the plans of God? The plans that are eternal, that the Word of God speaks about. As an individual here in London, how does my life align with the plans of God, the purposes of God that endures forever? Can it align? Can it coincide? Do I even feature in the plans of God that endures forever? And in Jeremiah verse 29, of chapter 29, verse 11 to 14, we read the following. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord." The amazing answer to that question is yes. Yes, that you do feature in the plan of God, and that God has you specifically in mind, in His heart, and in His plans for 2010, for your life. You feature. You feature in the heart of God, in the plan of God. And not only do you feature, He has a specific plan for your life. And that includes even this point, this year. And what is more amazing is that you can not only get to know the plans of God, but you can align yourself to it. And the knowledge of this fact should draw us closer to God, to seek Him with all our hearts. Because God says, "I have a plan for your life. I have a plan and I clearly know the plan for your life. And therefore, when you come to me and you seek me diligently with all your heart, I will reveal that plan to you. As you seek me, I will make myself known to you." And you can not only know the plan, but align yourself to that plan. And that plan will endure. So we can know the plan of God. And that plan for your life, that future and that hope that God speaks of, will endure for eternity. Now that for me is amazing. For me it's amazing to know that God specifically have a plan for my life. And that I can seek Him to know that plan and then align myself to it. That plan is to prosper and not to harm. It's to give a future and a hope. God says that if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And I will show it to you. And we can align ourselves to what God shows us, His plan for our lives. Now, how do we do that? How do we come to this place of knowing the will of God, knowing the plan that He has for us, pursuing the things that will last for eternity? It's very simple. The scripture speaks about it from beginning to end. It's from a place of abiding in Him, having a relationship with Him, coming to Him in that place of intimacy. And then He speaks to us through His Word and through His Spirit. But it comes and it starts from this very place of really seeking God with all our hearts. Because I can tell you today that God has a purpose and a plan for your life and for this year to come. It is set out before Him. And we have the opportunity and the choice to follow that plan or to follow our own plan. To invest in the things that will have value or to invest in things that would not. He speaks to us in this place of abiding in Him, through this relationship with Him. He speaks to us through His Word and through His Holy Spirit. I read earlier about Isaiah, and I've preached so many times in this portion of Scripture that says, "Though my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord, For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Which God is just clearly saying that the plans and the thoughts are completely different to your plans and thoughts. They are as far apart as the heavens are from the earth. There is a big division between the two. He says, for as rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it to bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. God says that my word will bridge the gap between your thoughts and my thoughts. That spending time in my word, the spoken word, the written word, the revelation of God will bridge the gap between his ways and our ways. And again, God encourages us by saying that even though you do not know my thoughts and you do not know my ways, I will bridge that gap through my word. And then, of course, we have the Holy Spirit here in 1 John chapter 2. We read, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. Again, we have the Holy Spirit within us as we come to God, as we see God. God says that through my Spirit, I will reveal and I will show you all things. The hidden things, the unknown things, the things that you do not know and the things that you need to know. These things I will reveal to you through my Spirit. But again, it comes from this place of abiding in him. All these things operate from this place of intimacy and seeking God with all our hearts. So practically, it means that we can come to God and we can ask God to show us his purposes and his plans. And we can come with him and to him with our plans and ask him to show us his plans. God, I want my plans to align with your plans. That is my desire. And I will seek you, God, until I find you. God responds to those who seek him with all his heart. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. As a young man, I read this portion of scripture and it impacted my life a lot. Understanding that God not only has a desire, but he has the capacity and the ability to establish his purposes in my life. And yet so many times we have so many plans and practical things that we need to establish, but God is inviting us to come to him and submit our plans to him because he wants to establish in our lives. The Amplified puts this portion of scripture in perspective. It says the following, roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so your plans will be established and succeed. Sometimes we read this portion of scripture and we think it simply means that if we come to God and we acknowledge him and we make known to him our plans, that he in turn will take our plans and make it successful. But actually, it means much more than that. It means when I come to God, I submit my plans to him. I acknowledge him as the one who has the authority in my life, the one to whom I submit, the one who has absolute control in my life. And I say, God, this is what I plan to do. But God, I choose to acknowledge you as my king, and I choose to follow you. So God, my heart and my desire is to know your will, to know your plans. And as I submit and trust my life into your hands, God, I pray that you will reveal to me your thoughts and your plans, because I know they will lead to life. It is like the parable of the good shepherd that says that the shepherd will lead us to where there's peace and where there's rest and where there's water and where there is abundance of supply of all our needs. But we need to come to God with that expectation. with that faith. And God says, as you come to me, I will align your thoughts to my will. I will speak to you. I will impart to you my heart. And as we align ourselves to that, that is what will succeed. That is what will be established. He will cause our thoughts to align with His will and our plans with His plans. And His plans will succeed and endure. The New King James, I read it earlier, Proverbs 19 verse 21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. We may have many plans in our hearts, but the thing that will endure forever is the counsel of God, the voice of God, the word of God, His purposes. Seeking the counsel of God. I want to encourage you in this new year, 2010, as you make your plans and your resolutions, I want to encourage you to seek the living God, who has a love and an interest in your life, who has a desire to see you prosper, has a desire to see you have a hope and a future, which far outlast this temporal life, that will lead you into eternity with Him, and you will reap the benefit of that forever. I want to encourage you to submit these plans before God, and to humble yourself before God, and to seek Him, to ask His will and His thoughts for your life. In everything that you do, from the practical decisions of where you will live, where you will work, what you will do, I want to encourage you to trust God, to seek Him, to hear His counsel and to hear His thoughts and His plans for 2010, for your next 5 years, for your next 10 years. I want to encourage you to seek Him, because He says that if you seek me with all your heart, you will be found by me, and I will show you my will and my thoughts. So humble yourself before God, seek His face and His will, His counsel, fast and pray, make Him the priority in your life, and He will speak to you. God responds to those who earnestly seek Him. And so many times in this life that we live, in the world that we live, in the time that we live, with the counsel of this world and the pressure of the world, we make decisions and plans based on what the world may say. But God says, you know what? The wisdom of this world is foolishness. It's foolishness because it will not remain. But my counsel and will remain forever. He wants to share that with you and me. His thoughts and His plans. And as we align ourselves to His thoughts and plans, He will cause your plans to succeed. You know, the best thing in my life is hearing God speak to me. There's nothing more precious in my life than hearing God's voice specifically directing towards me. There's nothing more precious to know that God has spoken to me in the midst of my situation. And at so many times in my life, you know what? That is the thing that draws me and pulls me through and that sustains me in this life. Because in this life, there are many troubles and there are many storms that we face, but the thing that we need the most is the Word of God. We need that Word that is spoken specifically to you and me. That is what sustains us. That is what draws us. There is so much confidence and security in knowing God's voice for you, in the life, in the time that you're living. I remember not long ago, I was just speaking to God about everything that has been happening here as a church in London. The three congregations, the school that we're starting. And I was just sharing with God, you know, I feel as if we have overstretched ourselves. I feel that we have jumped in to the deep end and we can't swim yet. I do not know how we're going to maintain what you have called us to do, God. I am afraid. Because in the natural, we are overstretched. And as I was praying and as I was speaking to God, God just brought to my mind that scripture that speaks about the fact that we need to stretch out our tent pegs and enlarge our tent. And because I've been spending time in the Word of God, God has used that Word to speak to me. And as God spoke to me through that Word, I turned to the portion in the Bible to read that portion of scripture in Isaiah, I think it's 54, that speaks about the tent pegs. It speaks in the context of God speaking to his people in exile, and he speaks in metaphors. He speaks to Israel as a barren woman who has no kids. He speaks to her and he says, I want you, O barren woman, to enlarge your tent, to make space for kids, to make space for a generation to come. I know in your own eyes is impossible, but I speak to you and I want you to enlarge your tent. I want you to build the capacity. But I just want to show you specifically what God spoke to me as I turned to that portion of Scripture in Isaiah 54 from verse 2. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your tent curtains wide and do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispose of nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You know what? That is powerful for me. In the situation in my heart where I was seeking God and I had doubt in my own capacity and in the situation, you know, it's powerful to receive a word of God in that moment where you know God has spoken to me. And I want to encourage you for 2010 to seek God, to seek His voice. Do not substitute circumstances for hearing the voice of God. So long and so many of us have come into the habit to allow circumstances to speak to us. We ask God, if it's your will, make X and Y happen. If it's not your will, make X and Y not happen. And we have come into a culture of replacing the voice of God with circumstances. But what you really need is not circumstances. What you need is the Word of God. You need to hear His voice, and based on that, you know what? You can face circumstances. It doesn't matter if circumstances are for or against you if you have a Word of God. And God has a desire to speak to us because He wants us to grow to a place where we relate to Him as a son to a father, where we have grown to the place of knowing and hearing His voice and living according to His voice, that we can align ourselves according to what He says, because what He says will succeed and will endure forever. And what He will produce in you will reap not just in this life, but also in eternity. You know, my father leave that farm, but he has something within himself that he knows that will endure forever. He can actually let it go. I can actually let it go. And I can rejoice in what God has established, the things that will remain. I want my life one day to be like that. I know there are many things that I do that has no value, but that's fine. But I want to make sure, you know, when I cycle, you know what, one day that's not going to reap me any reward. When I go on holiday, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. All I'm saying is, you know, there are things in your life that you pour yourself into. Make sure that what you pour yourself into one day will remain. And the way, and the only way we can know that is if we know the will of God. If we seek Him with all our heart, because then He will speak to you. He will speak to you concerning your career. He will speak to you concerning where you live. He will speak to you concerning the relationships that you have. He will speak to you concerning the very detail in your life, because He has planned it. It's not investing in things, but it's investing in people. It's not investing in our own kingdom, but the kingdom of God. As Christians, that is what God is encouraging us to. And why is He encouraging us to that? Because He wants us to share in the eternal reward. So I want to encourage you in the invitation of God to seek Him. To have faith in the fact that we can submit our lives to Him. And say, God, I trust You and I'm going to seek You to know Your will for me, for my family, for this year. God, I choose to seek Your face for every day, that You will guide me, that You will show me, God, Your ways and Your thoughts. Because it's those things that are precious. It's those things that will remain. And it is in that you pour yourself into, because that will remain. What has God spoken to you? What is the word that God has given you? Hold on to that word. I want to encourage you. Seek Him every day, and you will hear His voice. I'm not going to preach on that. I've done that before, maybe later this year. But I'm excited about what God is going to do for us as a church, the congregations, the school. I'm excited about this year as I spend some time with God. And as He encouraged me on the fact that we have stretched out our tent pegs as far as we possibly could. We have enlarged our capacity to the maximum. But this year is going to be a year of growth, a year of building. Building where we have stretched. Filling the tent. Filling the place. So I'm encouraged, and I'll spend some more time over the months just sharing what God has told me concerning how we ought to build and what it means to be building. But I'm excited for us as a church. I'm excited for us here in Weybridge. I'm excited for us in Wimbledon. I'm excited for us in Tooting. I'm excited about the school. I'm excited about the fact that we are stretched beyond our natural capacity, and I'm excited because God says He will build and He will fill. I'm excited about what God is sharing to me about things in my life and the decisions and the plans that I'm making for this year. I'm excited about those things because I know God has spoken, and I want to encourage you to do the same. To take this time in the beginning of the year and just spend time with God, seeking Him, submitting your plans to Him, asking Him to speak to you concerning His plans for you. And when He reveals that to you, to align yourself to that, because that will endure. That will endure. I'm going to stop right here, and I want to encourage you to do just that. Spend time with Him. Let us just pray. Father, we thank You for Your promises in Your Word. We thank You, God, that Your Word does not change. God, we thank You that You do not change. God, I thank You, God, that You are the same yesterday, You are the same today, and You will be the same tomorrow. God, I thank You that when You speak, God, You speak life. That Your Word is like a hammer. It is alive. It is like a sword, God. God, it divides within myself, God, truth from the lie. God, I pray that You would speak into my life, God, as I submit my life to You. God, I pray, God, that as we come to You, Lord, and seek Your face, that You will speak to us. God, thank You that You say that whosoever comes to You, God, You will not reject. And that whoever searches You diligently, seeks You, God, with all their heart, God, that You will make Yourself known to them. And it's on that, God, that we hold, God, this year before You. God, we want to come to You and we want to submit our plans to You. We want to submit, God, our thoughts to You, God. We want to submit our lives to You, God. And we ask that You will come and speak to us, God. That You will come and speak Your heart to us, God. Lord, I pray, God, for every person here this morning, God, that as we come, no matter where they are, God, no matter where you are this morning in your relationship with God, I want to encourage you to seek Him more than you've ever done before. I pray that you will have the boldness, that you will value the promises of God, the sacrifice that He has made. You know, the greatest thing about God's sacrifice is it is the fact that we can come into His presence with boldness, without fear, that we can have an audience with the Almighty Living God because of the sacrifice of His Son. And we can stand before Him and we can speak to Him, we can ask, we can inquire from Him, and that He responds to us. I want to encourage you to take hold of everything that His Son has come to establish for you, that you will not miss any opportunity that has been made available to you through Christ and His death and His resurrection and His life. Father, I pray that we will come before You daily and value what You have opened up for us through Your Son, that we will call on Your name, that we will seek Your face, that we will wait upon You until You speak to us, God, through Your Word, through Your Spirit, through Your voice, God. Lord, whichever way You choose us to, God, I pray, God, that as we hear Your voice, God, that we will align ourselves to that. And we thank You, God, that those things that You share to us, God, will not cause us harm, but lead us to life. Life not just for this life, but life for eternity, God. I pray that in this year, God, you will establish in us a hunger for eternity. God, that we will value the things that you value, that we will seek the things that you seek, God. I pray that you will show us clearly, God, what is eternal and what is temporal, God. I pray that you will guide us by your hand, God, in the things that we do, the things that we say, God. I pray that you will guide us, Lord, in relationships with people, God, that do not know you. God, I pray that you will guide us, Lord, in this church, God. Lord, I pray that you would guide us, Lord, as we seek your kingdom. God, I pray, God, as we pray for this town, God, for Weybridge, God, I pray that you would guide us. God, we want to know your ways. We want to know your thoughts. God, not our own ways and our own thoughts and our own ideas and strategies, God. We want to know yours. We want to hold on to them. If you're here today and you have never come to a place where you've surrendered your life completely to God, I really believe God is challenging you this morning. He's challenging you this morning to choose to have faith in Him, to have faith in His Word, to let go of the past and to reach out to Him. God is able to restore, to heal your past. God is able to give you a future and a hope that will lead to eternity. If you've never made that decision, I want to give you an opportunity today to do just that. If you're here today, I want to encourage you to commit yourself to God again, completely in this new year. Bring your plans, your dreams, your desires to Him and trust Him with them. And God will cause your thoughts, your dreams, your desires to align with His as you submit yourself to Him, as you give yourself to Him. God will come and do in you what is impossible for you to do in yourself. And that is change you, to transform you into the likeness and the image of His Son. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this invitation. I pray, God, that you will speak.